Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bench with Bubba, episode 600, as we are here to recap week 19 in Fab, talk about, was there anything interesting on Twitter the last couple days? I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about that for a little bit, and much, much more. You can find me on the Twitter at BDEntric, and my co-host this week, who's been my co-host many weeks this month on this season, on Twitter at Mike underscore Curlin the King. How are we doing, Mike?
Wait a minute. Episode 600 and this is what we're doing? You got me like, I want to limit the time we're on. I'm tired tonight. For those who are watching the video, you can see I've been sun-kissed, so to speak. And
he's
Florida.
He's full Florida man right now.
Everybody. I was out there at the beach. it was a great day, but I'm exhausted. I was like, I got you. I didn't realize it was episode 600. Now I got to bring some energy. I'm bring out the reserve energy right now, man. But it's been brutal mentally, physically. Like, the beach was so new today. I went full Rob D. I'm like, I just gotta go to the beach. That's Rob D. Pietro's place. Like, go out and touch the grass type of thing. I'm like, I just gotta get away, man. It's mentally and physically exhausting. Like, not physically, just mentally exhausting to deal with Twitter, the leagues, the overall chase that I'm pretty much out of, but just trying to cash in the overall at this point, and much more.
There's a lot to be said about that. I like to go golfing on my course here in town. It's a smaller course, so I'll put headphones in and just walk by myself and just kind of play golf. It's peaceful. It's quiet. Get outside and do a few things. I understand what you're saying. Let's have some fun, and we'll kick it off with some fun, kind of. We'll see. For those that sleep under a rock, there was some drama on Monday night that carried into Tuesday. I didn't get to it until a half hour after some supposed deadline was placed that I found out about after the fact. So that was lovely. But the NFBC, their website went down before lock. So they allowed it to be unlocked for a couple hours, let people take people out that already played in the games, and then locked it again before everybody could actually do anything. It was a very interesting situation. I know it's a tough situation. I'll admit that much. It's difficult, but it seemed like there are better options out there one way or the other. Curlin, were you able to take advantage of this? Because I sure as hell wasn't.
So I was, but not in leagues that I really care about, as in my one league I really care about. Like, I care about all my leagues. I'm still, there's two leagues where I'm 14th and 15th. I'm still setting lineups. I still made a point to go in and change what I could. So yeah, I'm not going to not play within the rules. Like, that's stupid. Anyone says that they would do otherwise is a liar or dumb. Like, I have no problem saying that, because if you're given a window of opportunity to take advantage of, any competitor should take any edge they can get. Like, if steroids are legal, take steroids. This is the closest thing to steroids we'll get in fantasy baseball. Not everyone's going to agree with that. I don't expect you to, but at the end of the day, most people are going to do it, and you got to do what you got to do in order to compete with keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. So yeah, I took advantage of it where I could. Most of it was DCs and stuff where it's like, oh, Jazz hit a home run, let me go insert him into my DC lineup, so I sat him in and stuff like that, because I don't have him in Fab League. So
yeah, he was benched on all my teams. Yes.
Yeah, well, he was on mine too. I had like three shares and they were all benched up until the home run, because he was pinch hitting. He wasn't logged, he wasn't locked into the lineup, and he was, I think, 65% started. So a lot of people still started on that week. And then afterwards it went up 10%. I took a picture in main events. I took a picture of the before and after. So just to get an idea, I'm like, yeah, it was 65. So a lot of people still started them. So credit to those who did, majority did. But it was like stuff like that I noticed. I made sure to pull away. I had no Lugo, no Strider. so I didn't have to worry about that. But like I had Estevez. This is where it gets frustrating for me. I had Estevez, which I would have gladly pulled him out, but the fact that they set this arbitrary, like, hey, we're gonna start it in the middle of the games. People got a chance to pull Strider, pull Lugo, pull insert relief pitcher here. I know there's a few others, but then the night, those the late night games, we didn't have the same opportunities. So there was an unfair advantage for those who had players in the earlier games that they could kind of alter around. And I, like I said, I did it where I could. So I'm not, it's not like I didn't utilize the potential to do so. It just sucks that it wasn't a complete free square. Like it should have been, in my opinion, it should have been all or nothing. I've been very vocal about this. It should have been either we're going to set lineups on Tuesday or we're going to lock them from before the first game. Because for like, for instance, I was 20th overall or 19th overall entering the night. So I'm over here chasing for the overall. Do I expect to win the overall being that far away for 2 months left? No, it would take a lot of consistent, like, just top tier production. I don't think I do think I could have at least, you know, I could still fight to be a top 10 team. Like, I still have that potential. I still have it, even though it was a rough night. But so teams around me, you know, have Lugo, have Strider. Obviously, you don't get that far without Strider on teams, etc. So they got a chance to take those ratios away, not get hurt by those, replace them with someone else who likely didn't do as bad, whatever. And then I don't have that same opportunity with my biggest guy who took my whip and dropped it like 0.0, like 8. I don't know, he dropped my whip so many points. Like I was down like a couple points last night. I went from like 23rd overall to 29th overall because of his outing. Like before his outing was like around 23rd. After he went out and got decimated, I would drop to 29th overall. And it's aggravating because there's people around me, and I'm not the only person that had this issue. It happened within the top 30, 40 overall. But it's one of those things where I also didn't get a chance to benefit like some of the other people in the top 30 free overall in terms of plugging players in that might have worked out. Like India was supposed to play today. He didn't. Had I had more time, I had a bench spot for him because there's a guy that I was really fringe bat in the first place. Didn't want to put him in over India, but I had an option and I took a chance on India. So whatever, I gambled. That's fine. I'll take the zero for the first half of the week, unfortunately. But stuff like that, it's just little things like where I could have technically made moves had it gone to Tuesday and had the chance to do the free square stuff that everyone else, not everyone else, but a lot of people, other people got a chance to benefit from. And I just feel like it didn't benefit people equally up and down. You know what I mean? Because we all don't have the same players.
Well, that's my biggest thing. And it's not just the players part. It's like people have lives. They lock their lineups and thinking that, you know, business as usual to put an arbitrary time like 2 hours later when not everyone's paying. Like, I didn't get an email. They apparently sent emails out. So I had no email telling me that stuff was changing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I didn't get that email. I saw some people mention they did get it, so the email went out. Maybe went to my junk email, like, which happens. Yeah. Like some of the stuff goes to my junk. It just is what it is.
But I guess just the bottom line is, like, yeah, shit happens and it sucks. It just seemed like the easiest way to make it work for everybody is you lock on Tuesday. Like you just lock Tuesday and you just call it a day. But it didn't happen, so we move on.
I said my 2 cents and I said it live here. I have no problem admitting my feelings towards it and all that. At the end of the day, though, yeah, it is what it is. We move forward and hopefully it doesn't happen again. Or if it happens again, it gets handled a little better. Because I think everyone I've talked to kind of agrees with the all or nothing approach. No one's, there's not a lot of people happy with the middle ground they picked.
Exactly. 100%. The middle ground is just the hardest part there. We'll see. Like, I had fun on Twitter. Like, people think I was complaining the whole time, but I literally texted the GTE group chat with Curling Company. I said, I'm going to go troll some people. So let's see how this goes. Like, I was like literally just having fun with it.
People don't realize that you, people might not realize that you're very sarcastic on Twitter, but there's also times where you're serious and sometimes it's hard to read the difference. Yeah. I know the difference at this point. So I get it. But there are times where people think you might be being a bit of a dick or
I get that a lot.
And you are snarky, don't get me wrong, but people don't understand that a lot of it comes out of a place of love and you're just trying to screw people. But I get it, but there's times where you're serious and people don't know which way to take you. And it's not your fault, it's Twitter, it's the internet. Yeah. Intent is so hard.
No, I enjoyed all of it.
It is so hard. It's just so hard in general for people to get a true read on people over the internet because it's the internet. There's no social cues at all. And it's aggravating. So it's one of those things where it is what it is. People are just going to misunderstand or misinterpret things all the time. I hate the internet. I hate Twitter, X, whatever it's called. Stupid, but
let's talk about something that people are having a hard time getting a close read on. That'd be the Tampa Bay Rays and Shane McClanahan and doctors. That's the hard thing now. He went and had a second opinion in California. The Rays came back. Kevin Cash came back on Tuesday saying it's highly unlikely Shane McClanahan pitches the rest of the season. That surgery is on the table, but they're going for another opinion. That would be the third one for those keeping track at home. That's never good to get a second one, let alone a third one. So yes, you can drop Shane now. He's not going to pitch the rest of the year. Surgery just depends on how bad next season is going to be, is what this comes down to. So we don't have a whole lot of analysis on that. You just drop Shane. Are you interested in any options here? Like, Taj Bradley hasn't get called up. I think he needs to work on things anyways, but they might not have a choice here pretty soon. Yanni Chirinos isn't good. Like, what do you – are Yanni Chirinos with Atlanta now? Never mind. Rossmore Ramirez came in and pitched for him. That's what it was. He's not any good. So what's your thoughts on this Tampa Bay situation?
I've got as little – I got as much as everyone else. You know, I'm just waiting for – I'm waiting at this point. Is Glass now going to be the next? I mean, he's already dealing with his back issues and all that. So I don't know what's going on there. The Rays are churning out pitchers, but I don't know what they have in the minors or if they have anything left worth. How far? I have no idea what's going on with Shane Baz. I know Fleming, I saw him pitching a little bit. So maybe he'll come back. It's not like they have a true, like, hey, this is going to be the fill in. They don't have those guys. I feel like Taj Bradley is that guy. And you mentioned, like, I do think that he might come back up, but I don't know if he's going to regain that form we saw early in the year. He's obviously still working through things. I think it's still there. It's just a matter of I don't know, man. I honestly don't know. I mean, we saw Dallas Keuchel make a start this year, so I don't know what
anything's possible.
That's what I'm getting at. But at the same time, this team's just, they went out and got Savale and they're converting Zach Littell, or is it Lytle? It's Littell, Lytle. Right?
It's Lytle. Lytle? Yeah.
It doesn't matter. He shouldn't be relevant. 20, almost 28 years old, random reliever turned starter because it's the Rays. I'm just wondering if they can do. Can they bring back maybe a little bit of Jalen Beeks? We've seen Jalen Beeks. I feel like we've seen him be something in the past. For yep. Was it the Giants for a little bit?
He did it with the Rays, actually.
Was it with the Rays? I swear, it's just one of those things where I swear Jalen Beeks was with the Giants.
He was a Giant at one point.
Okay.
Yeah. So was sure? Lytle. So was Lytle.
I'm sure Beeks was. I feel like, I don't remember. I don't know. Maybe it's not Beeks. Something. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, the Rays will figure it out. But yeah, this is the fantasy fallout. I don't think there is one right now. I think Lytle's kind of like the guy you want to have. And he's already rostered in most leagues because he's been decent since he's been converted. But he would be like the big winner in terms of, like, he's already guaranteed a spot. It feels like now he's definitely guaranteed a spot. In case, you know, if Bradley was showing signs of life, Lytle probably would have been the first one out. Now Lytle has a secured spot. So it's probably the biggest takeaway potentially from this is that Lytle probably guarantees a spot the rest of the way.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely one of the big takeaways besides Shane O'Max 2024 season. Shane Baz, he had TJ late September last year, so I'd be surprised if we see him back. So, yeah, he's not looking good. Josh Jung was hit in the hand, fractured thumb, had surgery on thumb, out 6 weeks. I guess the question is, do you try and hold him? You would be one to ask.
I dropped him in a 15-team league. I dropped him this past week. That's 6 weeks is already more than half the remaining season.
Yeah,
it's not worth it. Naylor was the fringe drop because I think Naylor, you know, Naylor can also be out 6 weeks, but he can also be back in two.
Yeah, they said 3 to 6. It's like they're going to analyze him every week, they said. Like, that could change like crazy.
And so I dropped him as well, and I don't think Naylor was as big of a must drop to others. Like, I dropped him because meanwhile I'm over here, I'm the guy who held on to Royce Lewis, which might work out considering
rehabbing now. He's rehabbing. Yeah,
like he should be back next week. I have Mullins coming back later this week, hopefully India, so my team's coming around. But man, it's a bit of a mess. But yeah, back to Jung, he's a drop. I don't see how you hold on to him in non-IL leagues, which in this case NFBC formats, like I said, I dropped him in 15. Even in IL leagues, you get 2 weeks left, and even then it's a thumb. So are we talking, does he come back and really turn, does he make the actual like time frame set for him? And also not just the time frame, but does he come back and supply that power production and all that over the 2 week span? I don't know if it's worth it at the end of the day, regardless.
Would you be excited to go add Ezekiel Duran?
No, he's been awful. I mean, he has playing
time. He's going to play third base. That's my point.
Like, I would say he has playing time now. He does the play, but when's I don't think he's been good for a couple months. We're not talking like a small time. It's been like over a month where he's been kind of Duran of last year, which is why, like, it was one of those things where I remember, like, because Duran was running hot, and this whole really team, you wanted every part of this Rangers team. But Duran is just a guy that you don't really. I wouldn't go out of my way to get him. If he's there, I'll take him, type of thing. Like in a deeper format, 15 teamers, he's not really available in the deeper leagues. But I'm trying to look at what his, yes. Yeah, so in July, 42 WRC plus, August so far, 19 WRC plus. He just suddenly hit like a wall after June. It's just like complete, like 778 OPS, 921 OPS, over 1,000 OPS, then 518 and 461 respectively for Duran. And that's OPS per month. So you can see he's just not been himself for going on 2 months now. I'm not going. he's a good spec ad for sure because we know the upside's there, but Durant's not a guy I would go out of my way to make sure I get him on any team. Heck, I dropped him in a 12-team roto league. It's a home league. I dropped him. This was before the news, though. So would I go back out and get him? Maybe. I'm not like, oh, I gotta go do it right now. You know, I'm not dropping everything.
Question for you. Do you have any sharp objects near you right now?
Screwdriver.
Can you please put that somewhere else? Ronald Acuna Jr. just left the game after getting hit on the hand. X-rays were negative.
I'm good.
Okay, I just wanted to throw that out there because that would just like completely cripple Curlin.
Oh, my team. I mentioned Naylor and Jung. That's coming off of 2 weeks of like Royce Lewis injury like 3 weeks ago or so. The Mullins re-injury, another injury about 2 weeks ago now. India's 10-day IL stint. My team is in shambles. I got Brandon Woodruff back, great, but it's not going to help when the rest of my whole offense that got me here is falling apart. So yeah, Acuna getting hurt, X-rays being negative is great. If he misses a few days at this point, I'll take it. He hasn't. Yep. He managed. Remember, he got hit in the shoulder. That stinger that looked awful.
Yeah.
Came back the next game.
Didn't faze him at all. Yeah.
So maybe I do think it's a hand, but hopefully. Yep. But wasn't Laureano's injury initially an X-ray was negative, and then like ended up being
because with the swelling to get like the micro fractures, the swelling's got to go down. The X-ray will not see it. That's the thing.
So I'm hopeful, but honestly, dude, if
at least remember the same day, Adelise Garcia and Chris Bryant both got hit. The X-ray is negative. Adelise came back like 3 days later. Bryant went on the IL with a broken hand because once the swelling went down. I'm not wishing that upon you.
Here's the thing. At this point, the way my team's trending, I at least will have an excuse. Like all these injuries, you know, like
yeah.
It's awful, man. It's been very unfortunate, very bad luck for me. And it's one of those things where it's like I'm laughing it off and I'm trying to play through the luck. But even the players I added this week, I have half of my offense sitting on a Tuesday. And yeah, for no reason. Rough. Like randomly, Willie Adames decided he didn't want to be a starter. among other things, like McCormick's just out on a random Tuesday after having Monday off. I don't understand. Stuff like that. Just a bunch of that happening today. Curtis Mead, I know he's not a full-time guy. I should have known better, but I still got him. And he started versus a lefty and a righty in back-to-back games. So it was like, okay, cool. No platoon risk because he's obviously getting starts right away. Sits the first game of the week. But I know, again, it's the Rays. I wasn't too surprised. Just frustrating because the timing of it. It's just like all these guys I went out and got, they all are just like just seven out of 14 are sitting the second day of the week. So that's fun. Coming off a really bad offensive day yesterday. Hey, but at least Nolan Jones hit a home run, right?
There you go. Of course. War Dog, sup. Question for you on the Royce Lewis front here. So like Polanco's at second, Correa's at short, Julian's DHing, Willie Castro's at third. Are we thinking Royce goes to third or maybe Julian goes to or to second, Polanco goes to third and Royce DHs? How do you think that's going to play out?
I don't know at this point. Just for fun. That's actually so I think Rob, shout out to Rob D again, he actually commented something about him being a platoon bat. So I jokingly said like last time, because remember the comment, me and him went back and forth on that. Yeah. So, but it is a tough one. But at the end of the day, he came back this year and before he played third base, he was in the outfield, even in the minors. And I feel like if there's a spot for him, it would be in the outfield if they plan on going that route. Buxton can, because Buxton's out right now too. Michael Taylor is Michael Taylor. You know, like he was a fourth outfielder before all the injuries anyway. If Wallner slows down over the next week, I don't think Wallner's spot is necessarily secured. So I think the outfield could easily be a fit for him, but also there's a chance that Polanco ends up on the IL the next day or two anyway. It's just the way it works. So, but in all seriousness, I think it's going to work. I think it'll work itself out. I do think that – I don't think that they're going to bring Lewis back and optional. That just seems weird for a team that's competing and needing offense. I think Lewis will get his way in there. But where he plays is to be determined. I can easily see a spot in the like a corner outfield spot. I mean, they could probably use him in center if they really. I just don't know if they want to risk him out there. But this wasn't like a leg injury. This was a freak oblique, you know, like any type you swing. So I don't know. I think the outfield is a legitimate possibility just because they weren't hesitant to start him out there coming off the second ACL injury in the minors. Why would they suddenly be hesitant to do it now off of an oblique when they need the outfield help more than anywhere else in the infield right now?
Yeah, we'll see. Because when Buxton comes back, he'll probably go to DH. That makes Julian like it's a lot of moving parts in Minnesota. So I'm really curious to see how all that plays. But it's a lot of is because they have so many injury prone guys too. Like the dust might settle on its own.
Well, and you mentioned it. Third base right now, I guess, would be kind of open, right? If Julian's, I would say, if it's really Castro. Come on. Exactly. So right now there is a spot. right now there is a spot with Buxton out. So there is that. It kind of works itself out. And like you said, and we all know, I doubt this whole infield stays healthy the rest of the season. So there's that. But I do think the outfield would still be a possibility. People are poo-pooing the idea of it. And I just, I don't know. I
don't know. It's definitely wide open.
I think it's a great spot for them to get him in if they can't find anywhere else. But we'll see. I think it's, I mean, and Kurloff's out. So can one of them, Julian play first? Can one of them play first base to allow Lewis to stay in the infield? I don't know. There's a lot of, Polanco played first in the past, I think, right?
Yeah, Polanco, I believe, yeah. So lots of ways to go.
I think it'll work itself out.
For sure. Carlos Rodon to the IL with the hamstring injury. He's been bad. That's the nicest way I could say it since coming back. The question I have for you, he's going to be out for 2 weeks. Maybe he comes back beginning of September if all things go well. Are you holding him? What are you doing with Carlos Rodon? Because he's basically been an average pitcher at best right now.
I mean, 12-teamers, I guess he's probably droppable. How long do you think he's out with this? Probably at least 10 days, obviously. So at least 2 weeks. I don't know. I think you're still holding him out. It's hard to envision a better option, like a player with more option, a player with an option on your bench or free agency that has a higher upside than Rodon is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
That's why I think you're holding for now just to see where it goes. But if it's like, if it turns into like, hey, this is going to be like 3 to 4 weeks, I think you could drop him knowing he's going to be out like half the remaining season type of thing. But if we're talking a min stay, I know he's been underwhelming, but Rodon's just a guy that we know the talent's there. And if he gets right, he's the type of guy that in the final month can like give him 4 or 5 starts in that final month. And he could be a difference maker for most teams, especially if things are tight, if you need strikeouts, if you need wind upside, or if you need ratio help. I don't think Rodon's this underwhelming. I just don't think this is who he is. Maybe he might be still dealing with lingering back issues. I mean, obviously the back, the hamstring, it's all kind of part of the mechanics. Maybe it's just a lost year for him. I just don't know if I'm
Would you rather have Cole Reagans or Carlos Rodon right now?
Right now, you got to go Reagans. Reagans is
that's why this is interesting.
Reagan for president right now, right? Like he's looking great, dude. I mean, and if we had more than a month and a half or 8 weeks left, I would say Rodon, but we don't. Yep. So you take the healthy arm who's performing.
That's the only reason why I'm bringing up the conversation, is it's like a totally different situation right now. You need every pitch right now that you can get.
That's what I'm trying to think of a realistic name. Like Reagan's a great name, but I'm trying to think of a realistic name people would drop Rodon for. And I think that's kind of like, you're getting to those names, the Reagan, the,
we'll talk about something like, would Brendan Faught be one?
I guess Faught looks so good. So Seth, I think you take your chance on those guys over Rodon, because again, it's all about health. Those guys are healthy. So
yeah, so that's kind of where we're at right now. That's why I want to bring it up as a conversation.
I've dropped a third of my team that shouldn't be on the free agency. So, yes, I'm aware. This is awful.
Another guy going to the IL, and I will probably be dropping him this weekend, is Brian Wu of the Seattle Mariners. He has a forearm inflammation, is what they're calling it. They don't seem too concerned with it. I think it might be just because he's been worked a ton this year. We're going to see this with a lot of young pitchers. They made a different roster move for now, but there's rumors that Emerson Hancock is coming up as well. Wu's been great, but he has, you know, hasn't been as dominant, I should say, of late. He's still been good, not as dominant though. It's been really just two really bad starts all year. Are you dropping Wu? Because I think I will be this weekend.
Well, it's an IL stint, and it's for an arm issue. So,
and he's already like
he was just at.
He's at 99 pitches last year. He was at 50 or 56, so he's well over. He's like 30 pitches over already.
I pulled up Hank. I'm like, where's Wu's major league numbers? I'm looking at Hancock's because I'm looking at it. I just pulled up his numbers real quick just to look, because he's been rather underwhelming.
Hancock's been very underwhelming, yes,
because you expected more out of him. But I mean, there's some, like, he should have a better strand rate, his BABIP is a little inflated. But how much of that, like, I don't know how much, we don't have the same access to AA data that we do the major league data. And 24 years old at AA, I feel like he should be doing better anyway. So there's that. But I'm not over, like, I wouldn't go crazy for Hancock. I would bet on the upside a little bit there, just because we know of the prospect he can be or supposed to be. But I don't think I would go nuts like making a must add when or if he comes up. But Wu's probably, honestly, any pitcher with an injury right now is droppable. Like if tomorrow Woodruff went right back on the IL, I'm probably dropping him after waiting on him this whole year. Yeah, this is one of those things where this is more strategy-ish. Like you don't
Here's a question for you. Let's do this. Let's do this scenario. It's like your Rodons, your Wu's for now. Would you drop them for a Lodolo or a Hunter Green?
Yes, because those guys are coming back. Those guys have ETAs. They're already
still at the beginning of September. And if Rodon's back at the beginning of September.
But if we're getting Rodon back and Rodon's been who Rodon's been, I think I trust Lodolo and Green to be better rest of the season. Okay. For those two specific options, better team context, even arguably. The Yankees are awful. Yes, but but it's also how many I gotta go see the schedules. Are they all home or road games that month? You know, there's a lot. Because we see the splits. You know, I hate to say it, but the splits matter. And not that I would not start them at home during the home stretch. Excuse me, but it's still one of those things where the splits matter, man. And those home road splits are very, very noticeable for the Reds players. But anyway, it's one of those things where I like my if I'm gonna stash a guy who's injured, I like them getting close to a rehab or already rehabbing, especially a pitcher. Like if there's like, hey, they're on their rehabs, like sweet, I want that. But if they're like, yeah, they might start rehab next week. Well, rehab plus 3 weeks for the rehab assignments, give or take. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like you kind of like, what if this lingers for Rodon and he has to go on a rehab?
So he's that's at least one, part of it as so well. Yeah.
You have 10 days out plus a rehab start. So it's already 2 weeks gone right there, minimum. And that's assuming that because this sounds like it's going to be more than a skip start situation.
I don't think it's the minimum type thing. So
that's why I'm like, yeah, I'd rather have my guys, my pitcher I'm stashing be close to or already definitely already throwing and probably starting rehab assignment. Otherwise, at this point of the year, it's not worth stashing them. Kyle Wright shouldn't be stashed probably at this point. I don't think Wright's rehabbing for reference.
No, he's probably not coming back anytime soon. Last guy I want to ask you about, Tim Anderson. He doesn't know where he's at right now either, but he's hurt again. He's been horrible this season. We've talked about it many times on different shows. Drop, hold, what are we doing? Is it time to just say screw it if you still have Tim Anderson and just drop him?
When it comes to weight management, we tend to put our focus on what we eat. But Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. And that's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. Try Noom today and see the results for yourself. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm wondering why we haven't dropped him yet.
He's still rostered in a lot of places. That's why I'm asking.
No, I know. I think it's a lot of it's the team context. But for reference, I'm trying to think of, I guess we'll get to some names later. But like right now, Bryce Terang hitting well.
Playing very, very well.
Why not get Bryce Terang? Like, at this point, you should be streaming hot hands. You should be streaming schedules. Like look at schedules and streaming players with playing time. Get those play appearances. Get those stats. Tim Anderson, I don't think he's going to go on this a league winning heater. Could he go on a September run that's like 6 home runs, 5 stolen bases? Of course, but it's hard to bet on that other than saying, well, look, he's done it before in the past. He's been so awful this year. How do we suddenly think, you know what? Maybe J-Ram knocked some sense into him. I don't know what to think otherwise there, but really, I got nothing there. I think that Tim Anderson's probably a guy that you should probably move on from.
All right. I agree with you completely. Let's talk Fab for the week. Let's have some fun with this one. We're talking OCs here, 12 teamers. Kerwin might throw in some snippets from the other side, but the most added player in 12 team leagues, Davis Schneider, added in 88 leagues, so not even in every league because that's where we are this time of the year. As high as $38, as low as one. We'll get to where he went in my leagues because I roster him everywhere now. Very, very big Davis Schneider fan, and I'll explain why later as well. But over the weekend, he hit 692 with two home runs, five RBIs. Obviously, he was never going to hit that good again. He was 0 for 4 on Monday. Had the day off on Tuesday. They did say they want to play him pretty much every day, though. They've been moving Witt to the outfield. So I think it might just be a day off for the youngster. So I'm crossing my fingers that it's a day off for the youngster. But what's your thoughts on this David Schneider, who had 21 homers and 9 stolen bases in AAA?
Yeah, he was a guy I was really interested on. He set today, too.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I'm losing my track of my days. I apologize. I was just looking at the schedule. One of my seven players that sat today was also Matt Chapman. So it's weird that they sat him and Chapman. I feel like they could have easily used one or the other today. Anyway, I think he'll play every day. One of my many tweets, because that's all I do is tweet about players, was about him recently. Just a lot to like there in terms of like the profile. He just looks like a strong, steady producer. You mentioned a little bit of power, 21 home runs. I believe, what was it, 9 for 12, I think, on the stolen bases while he was down there. Yep. And the thing was is that the strong plate discipline, I know it's a very small sample for Schneider, but that strong plate discipline carried over. So still has a strong plate discipline. Why not bet on the upside there? He's going to play. Sounds like he's going to play. He's already been playing second base, obviously. So middle infield option if you need it. I wouldn't bank on the steals. I know he'll run, but 9 stolen bases, and I'm pretty sure they have the same rules that Major League has, right? Or did they not take those rules yet? I don't know if the minors.
You're talking about like the
stolen base rules.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yes.
So to see only 9 of 12, I'm like, I would more so be looking at him like a steady Eddie, second base type with some home runs, some good batting average, which he's going to be solid. I think he'll chip in some steals. Like he's not going to be a zero there. But Schneider's a guy that he's like, I'd rather have Schneider over Tim Anderson for reference. Right now, why not take the shot there?
Good call. I like that one quite a bit. So, yeah, I was all in on Schneider. We'll talk about ads later, but I pretty much roster him in every league I'm a part of, it seems like, right now. And I'll explain my bidding. I overbid for a reason because I have the funds to do so. We talked about this, but now's the time to make sure you get the guys you need to get. But I will say Bryce Terang was on those lists, those waterfalls, that middle infield. We won't get to Terang today, but he's hitting for power, speed, and average over the last couple of weeks. He's playing very well, kind of like the player Kerland hoped he'd be to start the season. So
he was that way to start the season. Okay,
he's found it again, which is good to see.
He didn't find his way on my roster. I got a bid on him
this week. Yeah, he was popular this week for sure. Not in 12s, but in 15s. Brennan Faught, he was the next guy on the list here. Added in 87 leagues, as high as $51, as low as one. I added him in at least one league last week. Tried to add him in a few more this week. I was nervous because he's faced the Dodgers on Tuesday night. We're recording, the game is just about to start, so we'll know more about that later. But in the 3 starts since coming back, 18 and two-thirds innings, 7 earned runs, 16 Ks, 2 walks. He's looked a lot better. The pitch mix has been changed up a ton. He was heavy fastball before. He's gone away from heavy fastball. What's your thoughts on Brennan Faught? Because to me, it's a really good prospect pitcher. He struggled. He keeps going back and working on things. Maybe he's figuring it out now. To me, it was worth a chance. And we've been talking about all these injured pitchers. This is a guy that, if he has figured it out, could be one of those kind of game changers for a couple weeks at least.
I think he finally figured it out. I think Brandon Faught just fought his way through it. I was like, it was just like so natural to be so Jeff Erickson there. He really just kind of figured it out. I think it's one of those things, you give a rookie a chance to adapt. The problem is we saw so much success from rookies so quickly this year that we didn't give Faught the chance to like figure it out, and we expected him to just have it, you know. And I think he's there. Now, is he going to struggle along the way? Absolutely. But I think what he's showing is kind of the player we've expected him to be, and there's reasons to believe it because he carried that hype for a reason initially. I don't think he's going to be a ace-level pitcher rest of the season, but I think he can easily be an SP3 type upside, which is really a top, 36 or top 45, depending on which format you play in, whatever. But I think still getting a top 50 pitcher rest of the season is very valuable for your team. So I think Brennan Faught on the low, like, can easily produce that, assuming that these changes that we've seen and the production we've seen of late can stick. And I tend to buy it a little more. I know it's hard to buy on such a little small sample and all that, but I do think he's closer to this guy than the guy we saw prior to him figuring it out.
Yep, I'm with you. I'm on board with that. Like I said, I've already added at least one share. I think I might have added another one this week. We'll check that out. Not sure if he got locked in or not this week. Next up, Luis Rengifo picked up an 87 leagues, as high as 35, as low as a dollar. I wrote about him this past week because he makes me laugh. Every year is a stretch where Rengifo crushes, and we all want to roster him. The positional flexibility is amazing for Rengifo. Like, he plays everywhere, which is great, especially with all the injuries this year. Over like the last 2 weeks, since July 22nd, he's hitting .323, striking out 14% of the time, 3 doubles, 2 triples, 4 home runs. Not stealing any bags, but he's leading off for the Angels, that if they ever figure out to play baseball again, might pay off even more. But he's been super productive, and I understand why people wanted to roll with him, at least the hot hand for now. Like, I'd rather have him than Tim Anderson right now. So what's your thoughts on Luis Rengifo?
I just never can buy in. And you go look at his splits, he's doing it again. He has his OPS against lefties is .896 with a .380 wOBA, 143 WRC plus, aka great numbers, like way above average numbers against anybody and lefties, right? So against righties, his OPS is .655 with an 82 WRC plus, 100 is league average for reference. Like that's the barometer to where you want to be. 100 is right around league average, or is league average. And 143 means you're 43 points better. 82 means you're what, 18 points below average. And Rengifo, in spite of the production, he's not hitting righties still. So not that they're not really facing any lefties either. So not a whole lot of them anyway. And that's why I'm like, he's still producing. So maybe those numbers are catching up a little bit, but imagine how bad they were then before he got, I'm looking at stats, his splits right now. So Rengifo's a guy that, like, it's a hot streak. He did this last year, and I think you ride it, but I'm not buying into it. Like, this is one of those things where I don't care how good he finishes at the end of the year. I think entering next year, it's going to be the same situation all over again. It's going to be the same.
Kyle Tucker grand slam off Bautista to take the lead for the Astros.
Oh,
I have Bautista and Tucker. That just hurts me in both ways. It's a good and a bad. Sorry.
I'm not happy because it's not a player I care about right now. It's not my guy.
Sorry, Luis Rengifo. Continue.
That's it. That's it. I got nothing. It's just.
Yeah, he's a dude. I'm with you. I rarely get him right, but I'll ride the hot streak while we can.
That's exactly all it is. It's a hot streak, I think. But right,
this is one I'm very intrigued by because I tweeted about this over the weekend. Chase Silseth added an 81 leagues, as high as $47, as low as one. Dude's been great. Rejoined the rotation on July 19th. He's made 3 starts. He went 7 innings his last time up, but 4 total earned runs over 17 and two-thirds. It's 2 runs or less each game. He has 26 Ks, 2 of those outings, 10 or more Ks. 204 ERA, 204 XFIP, which is pretty solid. 17.3% swinging strike, a 62% contact rate, 35% O-swing. He's been filthy for the 3 starts he's made. The thing I have struggled with is they have a 6-man rotation in Anaheim, and he's still not a part of it. Because he's filling in for Griffin Canyon, who's supposed to be back this week. And like, if you went to RotoWire and look at the projected starters, he didn't even have a start this week. Like, he'll probably find his way into the rotation somehow. But the fact they can't just lock him into a spot, I am baffled by. And that's what kind of kept me back on bidding. I might regret this later on. But what's your thoughts on Chase Silseth and the potential of him actually getting in the rotation?
How are they not putting him in the rotation? They made a point to go out and try their best to make them like themselves a competitor. He's done nothing but prove, like, hey, put me in, coach, I'm ready to play. Like, every cliche you want. Seth has looked absolutely filthy. Does that work? He's been filthy, man. He's been filthy. It's been all, yeah, it's corny, but last 3 starts, less, 2 earned runs in 1 start, and that was the 7 inning start, 5 innings or more in all 3, 1 earned run in, or less in 2 of them, 10 strikeouts twice in an outing. Like,
yep.
He's been a stud. Silseth needs to be rostered everywhere, and he should be started because even once a week, if this is what he is right now, and he's done it against, I mean, Seattle and New York aren't great, but he did it against Atlanta. Like, that's where the strikeouts weren't there, actually, but it's Atlanta. And we're talking about 5 innings of 1-run ball on a solo shot. Like, that's still very filthy considering it was Atlanta. So all things considered, I think you got to just plug him in. And even if it's for the 1 start weeks, man, he's been too good not to just plug him in, see where it goes at this point.
Yep, I'm with you. He's been filthy. I just need them to, like, lock it in, and I'm very angry that they haven't. Carlos Hernandez added in 80 leagues, as high as 57, as low as 1. He's the man in the back of that bullpen for Kansas City. But it hasn't been as peachy keen as we'd like. Even on Monday night, for instance, it wasn't lockdown city four in runs, two walks and a strikeout. Obviously, if you added him, you rostered him, you started him. What's, do you have any thoughts on Carlos Hernandez?
I have him. I sat him this week, thank God, because I couldn't imagine what would have, what my whip would have looked like if I had him and Estevez go last night. Because I know Bloomfield, buddy of the friend of the pod, you know, the saying that everyone loves. Bloomfield, he you have your own pod with him, but yeah, he had both of them go in one team, and that's brutal. That's hard to come back from, you know, at this point of the year too, because it's just one of those things where you don't think it, like over the full season, it feels like it doesn't. Like, it feels like you wouldn't notice it, but it's one of those things where I'm noticing everything so much more right now. Everything's amplified in my brain. Maybe it's because I know it's coming down to crunch time. My team sucks. But right now, anyway, but yeah, enough about my team. Back to this. Yeah, Hernandez is a guy that I think you still have to. He's just, it's weird, man, because he's been so good all year. Is the new role affecting him? Is he not? Like, he's just not been as effective as the last few outings. I think it's more so a blip on the radar, and you kind of see where it goes, but by no means is he a must start guy unless you're desperate for saves, because that's the only reason why you stash him in the first place, right? I don't think this team has anything to prove or play for, so there's no reason why they can't let Hernandez figure it out and stay in that role. But at the end of the day, I think Hernandez is still a guy worthy of stashing, or at least holding on to. Like, in 15s, I have no interest in dropping him. That's where I'm at in a 15 teamer. I don't think you're dropping Hernandez, but benching was fine. I benched him this week because I just, that last outing, I'm like, and I just didn't like the way they used him between the last outing that they brought him in early, like in the seventh, and then I think he struggled a little bit before. I was like, all right, I'm gonna put him on the bench, see what happens, see what they're gonna do with him. And then they brought him back out and he screwed it up. So I'm not sure how long the leash will be. I don't know the usage, and I want to see him get right and get on track. But I do think in 15s you hold anything shallower, probably don't need to be chasing saves with Hernandez. So
yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I like him, but yeah, the amount of saves that you might get with Kansas City, as you said, is going to be the tricky part there, to say the least. Matt Wallner, we kind of hitting on him earlier. We talked about him before, picked up in 76 leagues, as high as 68, as low as a dollar. Wallner's been pretty interesting since getting called up on the 17th, 238 average, but six home runs, 13 runs scored, and 12 RBIs, strikes out a good amount. I believe you're the one that says he's like Joey Gallo. It makes sense.
I think that's what we comped him to last time, a couple weeks ago.
He checks out. It does, but he's playing great. He's on the strong side of a platoon. I know in 15s, I think he's very valuable if the matchups are right. And in 12s, maybe. I don't know if he's got too much of a 12 intrigue, but I like him. Just realize it could come crashing down quickly too with Wallner.
With Wallner, it's simple. If you're chasing power, you go after him. 18.5% barrel rate, 50% hard hit rate. Those are the stats you look at. You're like, okay, cool. There's power there. And yes, a max EV of 113, two straight seasons, 113.7, 113.8. Pretty impressive. Wallner is Gallo. Gallo is Wallner. You know, Einhorn is Finkel. We talked about this. I think this was like last week we had this discussion, maybe, because I know you dropped that line on me last week. So yeah, but Wallner, that's what it is. You know what you're going for. He's going to play every day against righties. He sits against the majority of lefties. Did start against one of the last two. So technically not a strict platoon, but pretty strict. You know, it's five. He started against two of the last five left-handed pitchers overall that they faced over the last 30 days. So Wallner's, yeah, it is what it is. Like, no point in really beating a dead horse.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I'm going to jump around now and talk about some different guys that just names have been mentioned a lot. And one's going to be Jake Bowers. Bowers was added in 58 leagues, as high as 25, as low as a dollar. We know the crazy Anthony Rizzo situation with the concussion symptoms 67 days later. So he's going to be out for some time. Bowers is going to play a lot of first base, a little bit of outfield as well. Bowers was recalled on the 23rd, came back from injury on the 23rd, I should say. He's hitting 222, four homers. He hit two of those homers last week. Strikes out a ton, but he does have that power. It's like almost another Joey Gallo type profile we're looking at with Jake Bowers. What kind of interest did you have in a guy like Jake Bowers this week if you're in need of power, first base, outfield eligibility?
Yeah, no. So I looked at him. He was on waterfalls, was not like a major target of mine, just because I've played that game before, been burned. Bowers has been running hot and cold all year. You know he's gonna play for the Yankees. You know the playing time's there and all that. I think part of it was also like, I'm trying to remember the schedule. It's just something about it. I was like, I remember having him high, but like not more than $2. Like, I was keeping it also very cheap this week. But Bowers is a guy that you're streaming for the power upside in that ballpark and the playing time. He kind of checks those boxes of playing time, performing, and ballpark. And that's kind of all you can ask for when you're streaming guys in deeper formats. I don't think he's 12 team viable, and he's pretty much in a strict platoon. He's not getting lefties. So you got to understand that the lefty playing time isn't there, so he needs to have those righties. But you do know Bowers will lead off, at least, or bat top two in the lineup for the most part against righties right now while he's running hot. So again, Fitz, he checks those boxes as a streamer in 15s and 12s. He's very fringe, very, very fringe. As in, like, I have a hard time. You'd have to be really desperate chasing power and, like, maybe a really good schedule or something to even consider him in a 12, I'd say.
First half of the week, it was Tukey Toussaint and Clevinger. Not bad. Second half of the week, though, Lizardo, Alcantara, Yuri Perez. So in Miami to top it off. So that's a little sketchy. Next week, it's at Atlanta with Freed, Elder, Morton. Interesting. And then Bayo, Crawford, Pivetta to end the week in Boston. So, yeah, we'll see how that pans out for Jake Bowers. A couple more here. Mike Tauchman, he's been adding a lot of 15s. 12s are starting to catch on finally. 54 leagues, as high as 38, as low as a dollar. He went deep again on Tuesday, by the way. Just on the season, 278, six homers, 43 runs, 40 RBIs, five stolen bases. OBP skills are still great. I keep waiting for this to end for Mike Tauchman, and it doesn't, Mike. So are you just saying, screw it, I'm rolling with Tauchman until it stops, or what are your thoughts on him?
Bingo. You don't have to, again, it goes back to, you don't have to believe it to bank the stats. You know, you just ride the hot hand, man. Sometimes it's all it is. Tauchman can have a really good rest of the season, get overdrafted next year, and be next year's, Meneses is coming around, so it's probably not fair comp, but maybe Schwindel or insert guy that, I mean, Meneses came around, but took him half a year to be solid, you know, decent for fantasy. But my point is he could be that guy next year where it's like, oh, remember he had this hype before, and look, he did it this half a season, and you can have him then. I'm not doing it. But yeah, so that's what it is. It doesn't matter what you think about him. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what the underlying numbers say. Honestly, it's all about what they're doing for you. And if they're going to, if he's producing, he's found a role that works for him. Mike Tauchman's definitely a viable fantasy option that you're just rolling with until the wheels fall off.
I think the last guy I'm going to bring up here before we recap our moves of the week is Cole Reagans. We kind of hinted at him earlier, but picked up in 52 leagues, as high as 13, as low as a dollar. That's going to change next week, most likely. He had a two-step this week. That's why I was kind of surprised by how little he was picked up. He was at Boston, filthy. Get St. Louis this weekend. Next week, he faces possibly the Chicago Cubs in Wrigley. Reagans, like I said, 6 2/3, 1-11 Ks on Monday night in Boston. But even his two previous starts, 6 shutout with 8 Ks against the Mets last week, made a spot start against the Rays earlier this year, 5 innings, 1-3 Ks. After that start, they've been stretching him out in the minors as well. Very effective stuff here from Mr. Reagans. So I bought in. What are your thoughts on him?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot to like here. Like a mid to upper 90s fastball. He can get it up there if he needs to, but he doesn't usually need to because, I mean, it's different as an RP versus an SP. We know that, so it's not really fair to, you know, compare the two. But 3 starts for Kansas City, at least 5 innings in all 3, 6 innings in 2 out of the 3, 1 earned run or less in all 3. It's one of those things where it's wild. Like, it's not sustainable, but 50% ground ball rate. This is actually, and it's funny because it's with a 1 ERA basically. XFIP of 266. All right, cool. He's still a sub 3 estimated pitcher. And then look at Reagan Sierra, 3 even. So, of course, he's pitching over his head. No pitcher is supposed to have a 1 ERA. But this is also with a 341 BABIP. So the BABIP is actually inflated for Reagan's while he's producing. So it's weird. It's one of those things where there's give and take in the profile. It's not all good luck for him. The strikeouts are there. He has the arsenal. Reagan's, I think there's a lot to like and buy into, and why not ride it out again, see where it goes. But even at his worst right now, the indicators are suggesting at worst a 3 ERA pitcher, which is still a rock solid pitcher, regardless of team context. And we're talking about such a great line for him. Only 1 win out of 3 starts because, again, it is the Royals. So you need to understand that wins aren't. So if you're chasing wins, this isn't your guy. But if you're chasing ratio help and strikeouts, definitely your guy right now.
Yeah, that's the deal, is the wins will be a massive issue with him. And that goes back to the Carlos Hernandez and the save situations in Kansas City. It's just a revolving door there. All right, Curlin, let's recap our fab pickups of the week. You said you went cheap. What did you roll with on your main event deal?
So I don't want to talk about my main event right now. All right, let's see my moves real quick. I can probably think about them on the fly here. So I'm looking at my team right now. I should have probably prepped better. So Joey Weimer, because the playing time's been there, some production. You know how he's been up and down. grabbed him for $2 unopposed. Actually, I tweeted this. Why don't I just find my tweet? I tweet everything. so I know I grabbed him unopposed, but a lot of it was just, you know, let me go ahead and attack the schedule for him, because I know, again, the core schedule, the Colorado schedule was like a big draw for me. Playing time, skill set, just wanted to attack it. Michael Taylor, three unopposed, 3-0, coming off a big week. And of course, he's done nothing for me, but the play, I'm attacking play appearances. Curtis Mead was an upside play. I got him for cheap, 6-4 in a 15 teamer. I was happy with that price considering the amount of money I have left. Take a shot on Mead. I was big on him in the preseason. I know there's a little bit of power, a little bit of speed in the Rays. He's the Rays' top prospect. He was showing signs of life coming up. So that was my biggest ad of the week. The other one was Jordan Diaz, $2 to nothing. G-Man Choi for $1 just for depth, because he's getting the strong side platoon over there in San Diego. And a guy that I'm cautiously optimistic about, and I know you probably heard he's dead to you this year, but Rowdy Tellez, grabbed him in a main, this is a 15-team league, $2. He's starting a rehab this week. Yep. Why not? I lost Josh Naylor. Why not take a shot on a guy who's probably going to come back, hit towards the middle lineup, and be a strong side platoon bat probably?
15s, I love that move just to speculate for cheap. 12s, I didn't hate it if you could afford it. It's just tough to, like, I just held, like, on 12s, like I told you in chats, I held on to Naylor because I'm still speculating that he comes back. Because the only thing, the question I have with Tellez is, and you guys know my love for Tellez on the show by now, is they got Carlos Santana, who's still, you know, he's playing decent, not great. Does he move out of the way for Tellez? Like, how does that work? Because they're both lefties. That's my question I have for that scenario.
Well, you said Santana, right?
Yeah.
Santana's a switch hitter, though, so I think Santana gets full-time play appearances at first base, and it's the DH that becomes Rowdy's via – or they'll flip-flop, you know, first base DH, but I think Rowdy's going to be strong side platoon now. I mean, why wouldn't they put him back in a strong side platoon?
Oh, I agree. I'm just trying to figure it out because, yeah, you look at all that because DH right now, they got Mark Canha, so he's platooned with Canha. I could see that, actually.
That's what I'm saying. Canha can get lefties because he's the righty, and that's where I'm picturing those two.
I can see that work for sure.
And Canha kind of bounces out between the outfield, infield, and, you know.
Hey, Canha played first base tonight because Santana got scratched with an illness. So, yeah.
Yeah, it works. And that's what I'm saying. Canha can play the fourth outfield role, DH. I think that's what he'll fall into. But I dropped, for instance, I told you, I dropped Jung. I dropped Naylor. I dropped Luciano. That was easy, obviously. Canzone, Ginkle, and Jankowski. There was too many lefties on the schedule for Texas. So yeah, I just kind of made – He
cooled down, too.
Okay. Yeah, he really did. So I'm just kind of turning and burning right now, full-turn bird mode. And then Tellez was just a big-time spec because I needed to take a shot on the upside in the corner after losing two corner infielders and still waiting for India and others to return. So I'm biding my time and hoping for the best, but those were my moves this week in my main league. So a lot like Jordan Diaz, maybe he'll gain some eligibility too, because he's been playing third base and stuff. So there's that.
I honestly like a lot of those specs for deeper formats. Diaz has been actually stinky powerful if you really look at it. And I love the Tellez call. I really do. I talked about that with some guys offline that he's on the radar because of the rehab. All right, for me, OC. First OC here, I picked up David Schneider, dropped O'Neill Cruz. Like, they just keep, like, pussyfooting him around. Like, I want to keep Cruz, but I don't know what they're doing with him. That was 12-7, runner-up to 7. You'll get a trend here. Runner-up, the bids changed in every league. I added Brendan Faught, dropped Ben Lively, and I know I bid high on these. Again, I told you, I have extra cash compared to others. I need to lock down certain guys. So I got Faught, dropped Ben Lively, 4-0. Added Cole Reagans, dropped Bryce Elder, 4-0. Elder's broken, in my mind. Added Mitch Garver. This one stings. For Luis Campusano, who had a two home run game on Monday. But Garver's been amazing as well. Garver, he's hit in every game last week, 3 home runs last week. Garver will get more playing time because Campusano is almost like on a 50-50 platoon with Sanchez right now, which is freaking bonkers to me. But yeah, that was 2-0. So that one never fails on a Monday to have that one come and snipe you right in the ass. Next OC, David Schneider, dropped Tommy Pham. This was 23-4. Had a lot of money in this league. I added Jake Bowers. This is the league that I have, like, my hitting points are horrific. So I was going straight for power production. So I added Bowers, dropped Luke Raley, who's been very inconsistent, 17-7. Added Luis Medina, dropped Ezekiel Tovar. Tovar went deep on Monday. He wouldn't have been on my bench anyways, though, so that didn't really matter. My next OC, added Schneider, dropped Ryan Nelson, 23-0. No runner-up bid in that one. Added Luis Medina, dropped Ben Lively. So, as you can tell, a lot of similar players like we usually do on these formats. But, yeah, a lot of Schneider-Medina-type scenarios. Now I have 2 shares of Faught. Reagans, I got him in deeper leagues as well. So, big fan of Cole Reagans this week. All right, let's take a few listener questions before we head on out of there. First off, we have a question from the crowd right now. Ben Tid comments, you should have had someone special on for number 600, not Kurland. Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I realized that. I told you. Like, I didn't realize it was episode 600. Like, I didn't click. I retweeted your tweets multiple times, and I didn't.
That's all good. Some questions for us. Timothy says, in your opinion, how far back is too far back to when the overall, the NFBC main event, or the online championship? There's under a third of the season remaining.
Well, yeah, so we actually talked about that under there, because I like that Gilds chimed in, because he has experience.
He might have done pretty well a few times in these things, yeah.
Yeah, so I really did like the idea of, I really did like the fact that I thought maybe top 30 still had a chance, but yeah, I think top 20 is pushing it. Top 15, top 10 is where you want to be right now, because you have to chip away at it a little bit every single year, or every single week. So that's where I thought about in the main. I don't know, but I couldn't tell you about OCs. I feel like there's such a wild west to them, but at the same time, the teams at the top, I feel like as long as they can keep churning and burning those stats, I feel like they can just keep those leads a little easier, because there's so many options and ways to fill needs and such from week to week. You know what I mean?
Yep. 100%. Andy Splinter asks, what moves did you make during the free look-in? I made zero.
I'm sorry.
I didn't know about it. Andy Splinter says, what moves did you make during the free look-in? I made zero. Oh. I didn't know about it.
Well, you asked me about it. I made what I could. I actually did go team by team and look at literally what was on the bench, what I had plugged in. Like, I got Joey Votto in on a team that I didn't need him that week or didn't want him. I was like, well, screw it, I'm going to take that home run. Because I know, like, they're going to face a couple lefties, et cetera. So I did. I made a point to use it, because, again, I'm not going to not take advantage of it. And these are it's my one main event, which had most of the players were late games, unfortunately. But then, like, I just took advantage of it where I could. So my DC is pretty much, because I did mostly DCs this year. So I just went through all the benches, tried plugging in the stats that it benched, and I think I actually got Campusano. Like, I sat Campusano, I think, initially. Well, not anymore. So I'm not above saying I utilized it. I'm not going to sit there and act like I didn't. And I love Campusano, so I have him on a lot of DCs. But
so do I. I had him rostered in all those. I just dropped him in my OC, and I hate it already. Yes.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where I drafted Campusano in my main, too. That's funny. Obviously, injury. But it's one of those things where it's frustrating, because, obviously, I wasn't a fan of how they handled it, but you'd be dumb not to take advantage of it if you knew you could.
That's the next question. The Guild says, did the owner swapping out Strider and Lugo have no integrity?
None at all. You're a terrible person, because I know he did both. I think he actually did both.
He did both, yeah. Yeah. Dave Petroziello, this is the comical part of the show, people. We've already, like, had our fun with this. Dave Petroziello asks, who is the head czar of any future NFC site mishaps? He votes for Zach Waxman.
Absolutely. Is there any other answer?
There's no other answer to that, no. No, he is the man that should be wearing the crown after Kerwin passes it on.
I think the king's dead. We're going to have to give the crown to someone else.
We'll see who the prince is. But that'll do it, Kerwin. Another episode in the books. I got you in. I got you out. You can go take your go get your siesta in. Go get some sleep. Any final thoughts, as we have about, 7 weeks of the season left to go?
I'm ready for a break, blah. Like, it's mentally... It's not even the content as much as it is. Like, I think the content would be so draining if I didn't have to be reminded by the ups and downs of my league every day as I'm doing the content. Like, because the content goes so hand in hand with what I'm needing in my league and what I'm doing. And then when I do something that isn't working, but my content is still covering it all, it's like, how did I miss? Not that I miss it, but it's like, I should have been more on this guy. I wasn't aggressive enough on this guy, or I just don't have the money for it. And some of the people are spending more aggressively than I am right now, which is weird, because normally I'm pretty aggressive. But anyway, it's what it is. I think just all of us are ready for that break at this point now, and it's much deserved for all of us. I'm tired. I'm genuinely tired, and the thing is, this is the first year I made it this far, and I'm like, I'm still somewhat enjoying it for the most part. Like, it's not just a grind. It's not just taxing. There are aspects of it I'm still enjoying following along with, and that goes. Like, I'm happy I'm there, because, like, honestly, it's the first time in years where I can say I've gotten this far. I'm like, you know what? Although I'm ready for a break, I actually still enjoy it most days.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's a lot of fun. I'm loving it. I've never spent this much time on Saturdays focused on Fab. I still don't take nearly as much time as other people. I know I'm very well aware of that, but, like, I have, like, my paper I always have out. I'm putting certain stats down. Like, it's way different than normal. I'm, like, way into it, which is fun. And I'm going to keep doing it, because I'm grinding. I have a handful of leagues I'm trying to hang on right now. And it's last, like, 10 days have been a roller coaster ride of emotions, as Curling can attest to for his leagues as well. It's like, literally, I feel like, you know, Bruce Willis and was it Cliffhanger or whatever? No, that's Stallone. Stallone and Cliffhanger is just like trying to hang on a little bit longer. So we'll see what happens. But make sure y'all follow Mike on Twitter @Mike_Curlin. I'm @BDentric. Thank you all for 600. Hopefully, maybe 100 more, 600 more. I don't know. But we'll be back to you guys next week. Week recap in week 20 and much, much more. Catch y'all later.
Way to win up to 25 times your money this football season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of statistics, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and an enormous selection of players and stat options are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/get100. And use code GET100. That's code GET100 at prizepicks.com/get100 for a first deposit matchup to $100. PrizePicks, daily fantasy sports made easy.